Welcome to Meant to Win, a podcast for founders, visionaries, and leaders who are deeply aware that their life and work are meant to create a bigger impact. We're diving into real strategy, conscious leadership, and the internal identity work that allows you to create massive success. I'm your host, Dr. Stephanie Wigner, an author, speaker, and eight-figure entrepreneur who loves to take business strategy and combine it with the inner identity work that truly unlocks the next level for you. If you know you have a big calling for your life and your work is meant to help more people, then you're in the right place. Welcome back, you beautiful people, to part two. So if you didn't listen to the last episode, you absolutely have to, because we are in the middle of a journey that we're discussing. My husband and I have him as a guest on this episode. And we kind of covered in the last episode one of the hardest points of our marriage and how we navigated that, what that journey looked like for us, how we communicated through it, how we processed it. And now I want to talk about like where we're at and what has happened since then over the last 2 years. And the growth trajectory that I have been on has not slowed down. It's only escalating, which has been really exciting and also disassembling, because everything that I thought that I knew at one point, I had to kind of pause, take it in, recalibrate. And I really feel like that's what we did after that season. So in 2024, we like kind of worked through some of these mental blocks that we had. And then it was like, we are such the type of people that just go to the next level. But we were like, you know what? This feels like new territory. Let's recalibrate here for a moment before we ascend to the next. And so I feel like we got comfy there for like 3 or 4 months. And then it started to feel easy. And we were like, okay, what's next now? And then you literally started planning on opening another office after that.
Got bored. Got bored. No recalibrating in this relationship. You know yeah. what I mean? Thank God you did though. And I think that's like, honestly, from a business standpoint, one of your superpowers. We've seen people implode by just, it's in front of them, let's sprint, like, let's go, you know what I mean? So by you sitting back, recalibrating, saying like, okay, no new offers, no new nothing, let's just hone in, let's just care about our community. Mm-hmm. Let's not jump in, dive in head first. I mean, it really, that's been a baseline ever since.
Well, that's what I'm doing right now.
Right now.
I'm throttling myself now.
But it's good that you do that, you know, because that's why you provide massive value, is because you're able to sit back and be like, okay, this is now my community. This is what it is. This is where we're broken. These are the stats that I'm collecting in order to kind of go in one direction or the next. And this is my team. And you have like grown the sickest team. Like, that's what blows my mind. I'm like,
no, just this morning, actually, this morning at breakfast, I was like, I was giggling about something in Slack and you're like, what? And I showed you and you're like, I don't understand. Why is your team so fucking cool? Like, why are they obsessed?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, because
I was like, I see you in the office. You yell at them a lot. I'm just
kidding. No, it's the directness. Like, they like the directness, you know? No. And we're all obsessed with the mission at hand. And I think, you know, just to like,
I didn't mean yell, by the way.
No, I know what you mean. I think anybody who listens to this podcast knows what you mean. I get heated. I get passionate, and I'll very much like, just this morning on our team call, I was going in, you know, but it was like, it's passionate. And yeah, my voice increases a little bit sometimes with that. But I think the exponential growth comes after identifying what the real problem is and moving through that and working through it. And so we very easily could have stalled our revenue numbers. We could have stalled the progress in our marriage and our relationship. We could have stalled a lot of things had we not gotten to the core issue. But the thing about me is I'm relentless in the pursuit of finding out what the deep rooted issue is. That's what makes me such a good coach too, because like, somebody will tell me their bullshit limiting belief and I'll be like, that's not actually the problem. What do you believe about this?
Can I ask you, because I've never really asked you this before. So I feel like if you fix something in your personality as a person or in your relationship, it directly affects your business.
Yes.
Do you think it works the other way around too? If you fix something in your business, helps the person? No, right?
Mm-mm.
So why don't most coaching companies have a person aspect to it? I mean, that's...
Well, that's what makes TWP.
That's the secret sauce, right? Yeah. That's what nobody else, you know, really has. And that's honestly, I didn't even know that existed until I met you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I was like, oh yeah, work. Yeah, work's like, just put your head down, hate it forever.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yours is, no, fix yourself and everything falls in place. And then when you start doing that, you start meeting other people who are doing that too, which then you build a community like, you know, you have. And that's why I always fought travel with you, like my whole life. I'm always like, you know, very regimented, like being at home or whatever. But now I love it and I crave it just because of those conversations that you know.
Yeah, that we cultivate in the room. But I think too, people will look all day in their business and be like, oh, this is the issue. It's leads, it's patients, it's clients, it's the offer, it's ads, whatever. And it's like, what's going on with you personally? Because that's where the real issue lies. And even for you, your practices grew so much after that because you recalibrated, you figured out what was holding you back. That's when you went on to open, you know, the fifth clinic that we now have last fall when you opened it. And it was like, you wouldn't have been able to do that if you were staying stuck in that identity of restriction or resistance, or that identity of like kind of having a chip on your shoulder. Like, you wouldn't have grew, you wouldn't have been able to keep going. Or if you did, you just would have been more miserable while you were doing it. And I think
it's abundance.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's literally abundance and overflow.
I mean, everybody thinks abundance like money, like all the abundance is happiness in all aspects of life, right? Like, it's happiness at home, it's happiness when you go into your business, it's happiness when you're serving your customer or your patient. It's happiness everywhere. It's happiness when you're dealing with your staff. I mean, if you listen to the last episode, that's what I was lacking at the time. I didn't have the abundance in my life. I was in my office. I was scatterbrained. I was running around. And what happens? Oh, I'm unhappy in the office. I'm just going to take that back. And when I see somebody with abundance, what do? I want to try to stifle it down rather than flipping the script and saying, why am I not accepting that abundance and what is wrong within me? I just say all that stuff because if you're listening to this and you're mostly business people are obviously listening to this and you know, they feel stuck or whatever, and they keep like trying X, Y, and Z in the business and it just like spikes for a month and then goes back down and they can't figure it out. Like, it might be something within yourself.
That's totally. Kind of, I would say 98% chance it's something within yourself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even before that, but even more so after that conversation that we had, we've both been on like a deep self-work journey and just figuring out. And so like in present time, I would say some of the things that I'm helping you navigate is that people pleaser in you, where you just want everybody to be happy, including me. I'm like, Kyle, you can say no to me if you don't want to do it, you know? Especially with Jethro, I'm like, please say no to that little shit. Like, he needs to be told no. With your staff, like with everybody, I'm helping you navigate that and just truly being more direct. But you've always viewed directness as like made you mean. And I view directness as kindness, because people don't have to question where you stand with them. People don't have to wonder what's on your mind. People know exactly what you're thinking. And so I've been helping you with that. And I think just elevating the standards for what you accept in your life from everybody.
That's a really good perspective. I've never heard you kind of put it like that. The directness is kindness. You're 100% right, by the way. And you know, I'm a caregiver at heart, you know, like I want every single person in my circle, you know, to have everything all at once, which works great when you're, you know, at a party. it sometimes works against you when you get a lot of staff members. So yes, still caring and still giving to my staff, but also realizing there are some people in this world that will take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And then I would say that you are helping me right now, especially in the last 6 months. I mean, it's coming soon, guys. I'm going to share more soon about what I've been navigating, but I haven't really been quiet that it's been a challenging 6 months. And you've definitely been the first person to see more tears shed than probably ever in our 13 years together. In the last 6 months of just navigating the growth and like the scaling that's coming with that and the decisions I have to consistently make. And I feel like you've been a huge support for me in, I would love to hear from you, but I really feel like I was a perfectionist when we got together and then I kind of worked through it and was like, I don't care. I started doing more things, but it's like now that I'm growing and visible in a new way, that perfectionist came back. And you said something to me the other day, you were like, Steph, I need you to remember that you're a human. And like, you are not going to get everything right every time and be completely perfect. And if people don't understand that, then they're not your people.
I mean, yeah, you're crazy. I mean, you're nuts. I mean, your happiness rate is like 98% or something like that. I mean, you probably know the stats better than I do, but you have so many, you're changing so many lives on a daily basis, and all, not all I ever, you are working on it, but I never see you pick up the phone and be like, yo, this person
crushed it.
You used to do that,
mm-hmm.
but you're so normalized to it now. The only time I ever see you give yourself personal feedback when you look at something is when somebody drops off, somebody says whatever. And the fucked up part about that is you make them fill out the form that's pissing you off. You're like, hey, give me a feedback form. They give you feedback and you're like, it's not all 5 stars. Well, yeah, it might have all been 5 stars when you have 13 people in your program. But yeah. Like, you know, if mm-hmm. Amazon doesn't have all 5 stars,
totally.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, at some
point.
Well,
that's, point, the, like, that's the price of like
like the scaling. Highest ranked president of yeah. the United States is like 68, 69% likability rate by like the American public. The mm-hmm. bigger you get, you know,
it's not all going to be just rainbows and butterflies. And I've definitely,
I made that stat up, by the way. I have no idea what the highest like premise, but yeah.
It's definitely going to be, you know, it's been a challenge. I'll just say that it has been a challenge navigating that.
You're working on it though.
Yeah. And I think working on.
But there's a difference there though, because you're directly working on that emotion as compared to just making one of your staff members look at the.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the feedback forms.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I look at everything. Probably to a fault. And this is actually where I'm realizing that I have a huge growth opportunity is I am so involved in the weeds of every aspect of the business. Because
yeah, your stats.
I'm genuinely obsessed with it. I freaking love it. I'm high on life for life. Every time I can get into a new system, a new workflow, tweak and fix something. But at this point, I'm really asking myself, how much is that holding me back? Like, do I need to know every time a client churns? Do I need to know every time an ad link is broken? Or do I need to know every time a venue and an event charges us an extra $2,000 and it wasn't supposed to be? Like, I need to start raising my like filter system or like a barricade around me, because how much of that is actually sucking my energy to where I don't actually get to grow to the next level? And this has been my realization recently is that because I'm so in the weeds, I'm inundated with information in every department, whereas a lot of my team gets to own their department. They get to own client success. They don't know what's happening in marketing. The marketer doesn't really give a shit what's happening in, you know, the social media, like they do about social media, I guess, but like they don't care what's happening in the inbox regarding events, because that's not their responsibility. Whereas me being the CEO, I'm involved in every process so much that it's overwhelming, because I have feedback and then I have to personally feel like I have to solve every issue when I have very qualified, very talented team to be able to do that for me. And so I think that's my next growth edge of being like, how can I design an infrastructure, a feedback loop where I need to know only the most important things so that my headspace stays clear. Because again, I say this all the time, like my energy is my ATM. And if my energy is drained because somebody didn't get their Circle sign-on link for an ad they bought, and I'm obsessing over that on a Saturday morning, like I just don't need to anymore. Like I think I can let go of that past identity of myself, you know?
I mean, I'm there with you every day, all day. Every 3 months, it's a brand new business. Every 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, you throw AI on top of everything. You're trying to figure this out, and then that stops. And then another 3 months, I mean, I'm just saying, it's like, it's the levels, right? It's like, okay, all of a sudden you get to this level, and then this level, and then this level. But sometimes, and what you're dealing with right now is you get to this level, you know what I'm saying? And then you have to reinvent yourself. It's the only way. The same thing that got you here isn't going to get you there. You know what I mean? But I think you do a good job of recognizing that. But, you know, you're not going to learn new emotions overnight. You're not going to, you know, pave new habits. You're not going to not care about what you don't care about overnight. That's going to take time and reps and, identification, you know, identifying that this is no longer serving you. But just identifying it's no longer going to serve you doesn't mean that tomorrow morning
that's you're off not my plate.
Still whatever, you know. Yeah. I know my picking up my phone in the morning doesn't serve me, but mm-hmm. you know, I still do it.
Yeah. I think, too, one of the things of going to the next level and kind of, you know, I've been saying that I'm like throttling my growth right here because I want this to feel easy before I push to the next level. And it doesn't feel easy. It's getting so much closer. I have a team I'm obsessed with. We are so clear on so many things. It feels really good. I've gotten a lot of clarity over the last 6 months. And also I realize that clarity only came after complete chaos internally. I was feeling chaotic. So many decisions had to be made. So many scaling decisions, so many team decisions. So much had to feel chaotic in order to have the clarity, because you don't have the breakthrough without a breakdown. And I feel very much so in the last 6 months that I've been having a breakdown, but now the breakthrough is coming and I can see the light and it's like fucking glorious and I can't wait. But also it's important to remember, I was talking to Callan the other day and she's like, just so you know, let me break down for you what you tried to do the last 3 to 4 months. You wanted to become an event company because now you were already hosting amazing events. Now you've kicked them up 10 levels and now you're an event company. You also turned into like a HQ studio and you're trying to write a book and you're trying to manage insane growth. Is it any wonder that you feel like disassembled, completely chaotic, overwhelmed right now? And it's like, oh yeah. I think sometimes when we're these crazy visionaries and we have all of these ideas, and you'll be the first one to say it because you see me, it's like we don't have to act on all the ideas at once. And I think that's also what completely wiped me out in Q1 is like I acted on all the ideas I had at one time because I had already felt, even the rebrand of the podcast, you know, I'd already felt like I was waiting on some of these decisions for so long. They all happened to fall in alignment at the same time. And that's also what like really pushed me up against my capacity.
I totally agree. It's funny though, because I just got out of a meeting with my business partner at Elite. And man, we had a tough go at it on the back end systems and processes and stuff for the first 4 or 5 months. We finally got it figured out. But it's the same thing at a totally different business and at honestly a lower level than you're operating at. If you're a business owner, you've dealt with this, right? Like I'm reading a book, The Alchemist, right? And the whole book's about this. It's this guy and he goes on this journey and he's trying to get to the pyramids and he almost quits 3 times. He gets money stolen, blah, blah, blah. But the hardest he gets almost killed right before he gets to the pyramids. And the whole lesson in the book is like, it's always the hardest right before the reward. Like it's not like, that sucked. You know, I stubbed my toe or whatever. It's like, no, I got jumped in a dark alley, lost my wallet. You know, I can't continue. I'm done. And that's when most people quit. That's your superpower, because I've seen you do that like 8 times, mm-hmm. You know?
That's why we have BDQ, bitch, don't quit, because it's literally my lifeline that's gotten me here.
Yeah. But I still remember Steph, who quit her job and opened up Circle of Life, sitting on that floor in that apartment in Morristown while I was working for 1-800-GOT-JUNK. I bet you that was just as hard, or maybe probably harder.
Yeah, back then of what I had been brushed
right,
up against.
Right, because now that you've flexed that muscle enough times, you'll go home, you know, have a cup of tea before bed, sleep fine. Like, it's no big deal. You know you're going to crush it, you mm-hmm. know? But I'm sure a lot of your listeners, they're going to, you know, be hearing that and like, they're the one who's about to jump from that 9 to 5 to open up their own thing, you know, like in whatever it is, so... It's important. It never changes. The levels change and it may seem like you're a superhuman, but you just flexed that muscle. Like you've just flexed it. Now you got all these employees and you're trying to add more employees and you're trying to, you have a media company and a content studio. You know, you don't get that overnight. You don't just get to go. You had to become that person.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, it was a good book, but.
Who recommended that book to you?
You did.
So in case you didn't take anything away from the podcast, your wives are always right. No, just kidding. I think it's good. I think it's fun. Also, we talk about a lot of the stress at this level, but we also don't talk about how much fucking fun it is. Like we wake up every day and we're like, today's a new day. What's going to happen? What new AI thing are we going to implement in the businesses? Like, where are we traveling to next? Like, what's the opportunity? What friends are coming over? Like, it's such an exciting time of our life. And I also want to make sure, and you're a really good job of this. You remind me of this all the time of like, it's such a gift to be in this life together, building in this way, and have the opportunities, the abundance, the freedom that we've built over the last 10 years. And it's such a gift. We cannot forget that, even amongst, you know, the struggles of scaling. Everybody's going to encounter that, but it's your perspective on how you handle it and how you enjoy it along for the ride. So I hope you guys found this helpful. And by the way, if you want Snack Daddy on more podcasts, send me a DM, let me know, because I can peer pressure him with evidence, okay? I can peer pressure him with evidence. The reason he's here is because I'm like, hey, babe, the community wants you. Go ahead and come back, okay?
Getting more and more expensive. Every episode that comes out.
Okay. I'll see you next week. If something in this episode resonated with you today, trust that it wasn't random. It wasn't an accident. Growth doesn't come from doing more. It comes from becoming more. If you know you're meant for a bigger life, a bigger impact, and success that actually truly feels aligned with you, then you're being called forward. This is your opportunity.